100. Talk at home of Mr. and Mrs. William Sutherland Maxwell. 1st September 1912. 716 Pine Avenue West, Montreal, Canada. From Stenographic Notes. The subject of immortality has been suggested. Life is the expression of composition, and death the expression of decomposition. In the world or kingdom of the minerals, certain materials or elemental substances exist. When through the law of creation they enter into composition, a being or organism comes into existence. For example, certain material atoms are brought together and man is the result. When this composition is destroyed and disintegrated, decomposition takes place. This is mortality or death. When certain elements are composed, an animal comes into being. When these elements are scattered or decomposed, this is called the death of the animal. Again, certain atoms are bound together by chemical affinity. A composition called a flower appears. When these atoms are dispersed and the composition they have formed is disintegrated, the flower has come to its end. It is dead. Therefore, it is evident that life is the expression of composition, and mortality or death is equivalent to decomposition. As the spirit of man is not composed of material elements, it is not subject to decomposition and therefore has no death. It is self-evident that the human spirit is simple, single, and not composed in order that it may come to immortality. And it is a philosophical axiom that the individual or indivisible atom is indestructible. At most, it passes through a process of construction and reconstruction. For example, these individual atoms are brought together in a composition, and through this composition, a given organism, such as a man, an animal, or a plant, is created. When this composition is decomposed, that created organism is brought to an end, but the component atoms are not annihilated. They continue to exist because they are single, individual, and not composed. Therefore, it may be said that these individual atoms are eternal. Likewise, the human spirit, inasmuch as it is not composed of individual elements or atoms, as it is sanctified above these elements, is eternal. This is a self-evident proof of its immortality. Second, consider the world of dreams, wherein the body of man is immovable, seemingly dead, not subject to sensation. The eyes do not see, the ears do not hear, nor the tongue speak. But the spirit of man is not asleep. It sees, hears, moves, perceives and discovers realities. Therefore it is evident that the spirit of man is not affected by the change or condition of the body. Even though the material body should die, the spirit continues eternally alive, just as it exists and functions in the inert body in the realm of dreams. That is to say, the spirit is immortal and will continue its existence after the destruction of the body. Third, the human body has one form. In its composition, it has been transferred from one form to another, but never possesses two forms at the same time. For example, it has existed in the elemental substances of the mineral kingdom. From the mineral kingdom, it has traversed the vegetable kingdom and its constituent substances. From the vegetable kingdom, it has risen by evolution into the kingdom of the animal, and from thence attained the kingdom of man. After its disintegration and decomposition, it will return again to the mineral kingdom, leaving its human form and taking a new form unto itself. During these progressions, one form succeeds another, but at no time does the body possess more than one. The spirit of man, however, can manifest itself in all forms at the same time. For example, we say that a material body is either square or spherical, triangular or hexagonal. While it is triangular, it cannot be square, and while it is square, it is not triangular. Similarly, it cannot be spherical and hexagonal at the same time. These various forms or shapes cannot be manifest at the same instant in one material object. Therefore, the form of the physical body of man must be destroyed and abandoned before it can assume or take unto itself another. Mortality, therefore, means transference from one form to another, that is, transference from the human kingdom to the kingdom of the mineral. When the physical man is dead, he will return to dust, and this transference is equivalent to non-existence. But the human spirit in itself contains all these forms, shapes, and figures. It is not possible to break or destroy one form so that it may transfer itself into another. As an evidence of this, at the present moment, in the human spirit, you have the shape of a square and the figure of a triangle. Simultaneously, you can also conceive a hexagonal form. All these can be conceived at the same moment in the human spirit, and not one of them needs to be destroyed or broken in order that the spirit of man may be transferred to another. There is no annihilation, no destruction. Therefore, the human spirit is immortal because it is not transferred from one body into another body. Consider another proof. Every cause is followed by an effect, and vice versa. There can be no effect without a cause preceding it. Sight is an effect. There is no doubt that behind that effect there is a cause. When we hear a discourse, there is a speaker. We could not hear words unless they proceeded from the tongue of a speaker. Motion without a mover or cause of motion is inconceivable. Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago. Today we behold his manifest signs, his light shining, his sovereignty is established, his traces are apparent, his bounties are effulgent. Can we say that Christ did not exist? We can absolutely conclude that Christ existed and that from him these traces proceeded. Still another proof. The body of man becomes lean or fat. It is afflicted with disease, suffers mutilation. Perhaps the eyes become blind, the ears deaf, but none of these imperfections and failings afflict or affect the spirit. The spirit of man remains in the same condition, unchanged. A man is blinded, but his spirit continues the same. He loses his hearing, his hand is cut off, his foot amputated, but his spirit remains the same. He becomes lethargic. He's afflicted with apoplexy, but there is no difference, change, or alteration in his spirit. This is proof that death is only destruction of the body, while the spirit remains immortal, eternal. Again, all phenomena of the material world are subject to mortality and death, but the immortal spirit does not belong to the phenomenal world. It is holy and sanctified above material existence. If the spirit of man belonged to the elemental existence, the eye could see it, the ear hear it, the hand touch. As long as these five senses cannot perceive it, the proof is unquestioned that it does not belong to the elemental world, and therefore is beyond death or mortality, which are inseparable from that material realm of existence. If being is not subject to the limitation of material life, it is not subject to mortality. There are many other proofs of the immortality of the spirit of man. These are but a few of them. Salutations.